you this morning. Emma, I didn't quite recognize you when you walked in this morning without Gary, so it's good to see you all back. And we got Marilyn Harder with us today, Marilyn and Gary. And Francis Smith is back as well. Francis, good to see you. Who else did I see this back? Gene and Marjorie. Well, I saved you for last because we have a praise today. Eugene Nussbaum got married 3 weeks ago to his lovely bride, Marjorie. So we're going to start that and have you guys back with us. That's awesome. And we're really happy for you guys. It's good to have someone in your life, isn't it? Yeah. Well, welcome. I'm Pastor David Branson. I was not here last week, but I'm still here, so don't worry. I'm not going anywhere. So glad to be back. We had a great Emmaus weekend up at Southeast last weekend. We had 25 men on the weekend, and we had a great time. It's a spiritual retreat. If you're not familiar with the Walk to Emmaus, you can ask me or someone else in the congregation. Who here has made a Walk to Emmaus? See, there's a few of you around, so that's good. But if you're interested in learning more about that, ask one of us to raise our hands or myself about that. This coming next week, I'll be serving as spiritual director on the Oceanside Women's Emmaus. So I will be gone next Sunday as well, but it's Children's Sabbath, and the United Methodist Women are going to be conducting that service in honor of the children. And I understand we have a guest speaker for that, Nancy. Do we have a guest speaker?
Not confirmed.
Not confirmed. But whoever is here, I'm sure will do a great job, and I appreciate the women stepping up and handling the service next week while I'm away again serving at the Emmaus weekend. And after that, I should be here for a while, so I shouldn't be gone anywhere on Sundays for a while after that. Just a few quick announcements today. Be sure to throw your Connect cards out and drop them in the offering plate as that comes around. That's your attendance and your notes for the office as well. We did have our crosswalk yesterday. It looked kind of shaky in the beginning with all the thunder and rumble and the rain. But you know what? We made the entire morning and there was no rain on us. We had a great time. I think our church had one of the larger groups. We had 19 folks walking yesterday. And we raised a little over $1,500. And I think that number is going to go up. So thank you for everyone that came out on the crosswalk yesterday. If you see Carol and Darren there, they're wearing our shirts that we had for the walk, and that's awesome. Thank you for putting the shirts together, Miss Robin. And Robin didn't know it, but she was our captain. We told her after it was over that she was the captain, so it was okay. You can't break things on her too early, so right? Good. And reminder that our pumpkin patch, our pumpkins are going to be here on the 8th. We do have a sign-up sheet I see in the back with Mr. Ken back there. We could certainly use your help manning the pumpkin patch during the daytime hours and, of course, in the evening for a few hours in the evening. So if you're available to help out with that, we certainly would appreciate your help because we need help with that. We don't seem to have as many folks that are able to help with that anymore. So if you're able, I would encourage you to come out and meet some of our neighbors here around the church, and just it's a good time of fun and fellowship as well. So come out and help with that as you can. Today is World Communion Sunday. We'll be joining with the body of Christ around the world as we celebrate Holy Communion today. We will be remembering that we're in fellowship with all Christians around the world. So as you come today, just remember that this Christianity thing is bigger than Lakeside. Amen. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and stood at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. Inspire us this day, O God, with the power of your Holy Spirit, revive our courage. With Christ's holy calling in our lives, rekindle our sense of purpose. With your steadfast love and faithfulness, renew our faith. In gratitude and trust, we pray.
Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
If you don't say that in a song, you can't say it. Q-R-S-T-U-R-S-X. I hope the policeman don't pull me over and make me do the alphabet. Okay, you know where I'm going with this. So he said, well, why were you saying the alphabet? And she said, I didn't know what to pray, but I knew if I just said the letters that God would put them together in a prayer that he knew what I needed. She had some faith, didn't she? She didn't have to say the right words. She just said the letters, knowing God could put the words together for her and know how to pray. So that's a pretty big faith, I would say, wouldn't you? That's a huge faith. Anyone have faith like that out here? Do you trust God that way? Well, that's a good story to illustrate to us that even a little faith, God hears us, but a big faith can come from little things. All right? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the faith that you placed in each one of us. Father, even sometimes a little faith, when we think our faith is weak and not meaningful to you, Father, you use that. You listen to us. And you put the letters of our heart together in the prayer that we need to have said. So, Father, we thank you for that. For giving us maybe some days a little faith that leads to a great big faith. So, Father, we thank you for the love of your Son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Good story. Tell that story to someone. It's a good story, huh? Is that one of my better stories? Sure. Humor me now. Some days our faith is not as great as other days. Our service, when we certainly should have plenty of faith, our time of prayer when we go before the Lord and we take folks that we love and care about to the cross and we leave them at Jesus' feet, and our faith tells us that God is listening, God is working in these times. Got some folks here lifting up in prayer this morning. Dorothy Leone, Miss Dorothy, is now been returned back to the care center at B at Lakeside. She's fallen and broken her leg, so she is on the mend as well. It's good to see Mary Ann Davis here. Mary Ann, good to see you and my little friend there. He's so precious. Mary Ann, we're happy that Mary Ann was in JFK for a day or two, right? And she had a heart procedure and everything. She was there 6 days? Okay. You're in and out of there so much I can't keep track of it. So, okay, 6 days, but she's feeling a lot better. We're glad she is with us as well. Marie Gerbus, I believe she is still in JFK. She suffered a fall and really banged herself up quite a bit, so we're praying for Marie this morning as well. My nephew, Michael Branson, I'm hoping he gets out of the treatment that he's in right now and can go out to the Dumplin Center up in Stewart for drug treatment, drug abuse treatment. We've been praying for Elsie Santampo, a co-worker of Garfield's. If you remember, we've been praying for her for only a week or so, but the employees of Home Depot really rallied around her and was really taking care of her. Her son's lived out of state. And she was taken just this past week to Arizona to be put under hospice care. And while Garfield was here this morning opening up the church, he got a call saying that Elsie had passed away yesterday. So she's gone home to be with the Lord. She had cancer, but the employees and her friends at Home Depot certainly did rally around her and take care. So we're giving praise for them and the way they rallied around Elsie as well. Gina McDonald, we continue to pray for her. She gets good reports and things are keep moving along with her cancer treatment as well. Lifting up Christy Harden this morning. She's having some dental work done and she's got an infection, I guess. So we'll pray for Christy to get through that quickly. Thomas Caldwell, we're lifting up as well. And of course, the residents of Haiti and Jamaica and those places, maybe part of Cuba, could be affected by this Hurricane Matthew. So let's continue to lift that up and pray that it continues to go farther and farther to the east and goes out and dies in the hurricane graveyard without affecting many people. Bud Van Winkle as well, Dan. That's a co-worker, right, Dan? That's Fred's father. We've been praying for him quite some time, but he's being placed in hospice care as well. So we keep the Van Winkle family in our prayers. So good. Dan Bowen, George and Barbara Russell's friend, has been diagnosed with bladder cancer. So keep the Bowen family in your prayers, and Dan especially. Larry as well. Larry called me this morning. He had a flu shot this week, and he's been sick after that. So we hope that he's quickly. Larry Coonsman, so keep Larry in your prayers as well. We have a praise today. Rebecca Wilhelm Acosta, it's her birthday today, and she's coming for a visit in November, so that's a blessing as well. So keep Rebecca and Rosalind in your prayers. They're the ones that live down in Columbia, so just keep them in your prayers as well. I know you bring things with you today that have gone unspoken, so let's now take those to the Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Holy and gracious God, it seems like each week the list just continues to grow of people needing your healing presence in their life. Father, we lift these ones' name here today. We lift them up to you in whatever circumstance they find themselves, Father, with health or just whatever things that afflict us in this life. Father, we pray that your divine guidance would guide the caregivers and doctors and technicians and all those who work on making us well. Father, we recognize those as spiritual gifts that you have given people, and I pray that they would recognize their value to each one of us as individuals. So, Father, today we lift up all of those that are heavy on our heart and that we're worried about and we're just distressed over, Lord. We pray that you would lighten their load, that you would lighten, let the light shine in their life, that would give them a sense of hope and peace. And as your grace pours out over them, they have hope for tomorrow. So, Father, just be with us today as we gather on this World Communion Sunday. Father, we recognize that we are a worldwide church, that we as Christians are not just the folks gathered in this room, but in churches around the world today. As we celebrate Holy Communion, we even feel closer to our brothers and sisters around the world who worship and praise your name and recognize you as our only chance of salvation. So, Father, today I pray for us and all the things going on in our world, this election process, Lord, I pray that that somehow your light could shine up until election day. And the person that's elected is the one we know that you have chosen. For whatever purpose they play in our future, Lord, we pray for your guidance and your divine intervention in the leaders that make decisions on all our behalf. So, Father, today we're humble, we're grateful, we are forever mindful that we are your children, that you make a difference in our lives. Father, you just ask us to allow you in to say yes to this gift. So, Father, today I pray that as we come to this altar rail, we would be transformed, and that we would even get a greater sense of the disciple you've called each one of us to be. So, Father, be with us today in our worship, in our praise of you. Let us reflect you to those around us. We pray in the holy and precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please come forward to receive our gifts.
Well, it's good to be back with you. Like I said, last weekend I was serving on the Men's Emmaus up in Southeast, up in Stewart. And it was a really, for me, even folks that serve on the team and the clergy that didn't participate in that, it's such a blessing to just spend 3 days. It's called a 72-hour experience, but 72 hours just relaxing and being in the presence of God, to just to take that time to be away. Away from the rat race. So I was certainly blessed this past weekend as well. But our scripture today, as I ponder our message today, are you ever in your life ashamed? And the shame may not be the right word, but you don't necessarily speak up as a Christian of things going on around you because you think it might be counter to what people around you are doing or saying. I know as young people we're tempted with that peer pressure, and I think peer pressure can linger with us. And we a lot of times are with our friends or in different places, and sometimes we think, let's put God on the back burner. Being ashamed of being a Christian, that's a pretty strong word. Sometimes we don't always speak up, do we? Speak up in a Christ-like way. Not necessarily speak up to cause trouble, but to speak up to indicate we're different. You know, maybe it's a negative conversation or whatever it is going on around us. Is there some way we can bring light to the situation? So we're reading from 2 Timothy today, in starting in chapter 1, with verse 8. Hear these words, and then we're going to dig into this a little bit deeper. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share the suffering for the good news, depending on God's power. God is the one who saved and called us with a holy calling. This wasn't based on what we have done, but it was based on his own purpose and grace that he gave us in Christ Jesus before time began. Now his grace is revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He destroyed death. He brought life and immortality into clear focus through the good news. I was appointed a messenger, apostle, and teacher of this good news. This is also why I'm suffering the way I do. But I'm not ashamed. I know the one in whom I've placed my trust. I'm convinced that God is powerful enough to protect what he has placed in my trust until that day. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Protect this good thing that has been placed in your trust through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in Asia has turned away from me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. And the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray. Gracious God, these words from Paul to Timothy is coming from a seasoned veteran of the ministry to a young man just starting out. Father, let us hear these words today and let them impact us the way they hopefully impacted Timothy. So, Father, be with us this morning in this message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good old Paul, he was writing a letter to his protege, Timothy. Now, this letter is not a tribute to an old-time pastor that was soon to be slipping away. He was in prison when he wrote this. And he thought he was soon to be martyred for Christ. He thought his days were numbered. 2 Timothy is the last of Paul's 14 letters in the New Testament. 25 years or so after his conversion. So he's a veteran. The more I'm around pastors that have served 25, 30, 35 years in ministry, they're changed by their ministry. I've been in ministry almost 6 years. I'm changed by my ministry. We're going through this situation right now with my nephew, Michael, and drug addiction. He's been in a treatment program, a short-term drying out process, for 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks. And my heart feels like it's been ripped from me during these 2 weeks. I know he's suffering. But you know what? I know his mom and dad are suffering. I'm suffering a little bit. There's some nights at home my stomach is just churning. Now I know some of you have dealt with this in your families. Ministry affects us. And you're in ministry to your families, to your loved ones, to your neighbors. And ministry hurts, doesn't it? Ministry can hurt. As Paul said here in prison, he's not writing the epitaph of his life and the great things he's done. He knows he's being poured out. What he's doing is writing to this young Timothy saying, hang in there, have faith, don't be ashamed of the gospel that you have been taught. As we read through these letters, Timothy begins to paint a picture of Timothy that Maybe he's not the strongest person in the world. Maybe he has weaknesses. But he's imploring him never to be ashamed of the gospel in which you were taught. Timothy was a second-generation Christian. Have you ever realized that? His mother and his aunt, that's where he got his theological background, was from his mother and his aunt. His father was a non-believer. So now you've got this going on in his life. Many of you have told me you've grown up in a home where one parent or the other were non-believers. Sometimes both of them non-believers. So the fact that there's a little struggle in our lives with where God is calling us, there's no doubt that happens. People I love and care about, and you that I love and care about, when you have things happen in your life, those around you struggle with it as well. And my heart breaks. Some pastors tell me it's not healthy to suffer along with your people so much. Then how do you be a pastor or not? I can see where it could possibly shorten your life. Stress, you know. And you all have situations in your life that stress is there. I look around this room and I see many, many examples of people that are living a stressful life right now. We've got to stand strong in our faith. We've got to stand up to the persecution of the world. Paul's purpose in this letter was not to say that he was prepared for what was coming in his life, but he was trying to build into Timothy's life to be prepared for what's coming. Ironically, this is not when Paul was executed. He got off on these charges and got out. They let him out. But his time would come. And he would be executed. Throughout this letter, it's him speaking, Paul speaking to Timothy in ways to present yourself as one approved by God. Do you all live your lives feeling approved of God? That you have God's approval in your life. That's a big thing, I believe. Do you? If we live our lives thinking God does not approve of this, I think that could lead to some sleepless nights if we really thought about it. But how easy is it for us to put that in this box and put that up on the top shelf in the closet and forget about what God wants for us? This letter that Timothy received from Paul is telling him to stay in there. Like I said, Timothy seems to have suffered from health problems, perhaps a nervous stomach. Some theologians say a nervous stomach, give me a break. Even these giants of spiritual life have a nervous stomach. I must be a religion junkie. I can relate to that. It says that he may have experienced some moral or spiritual failures in the past. Moral and spiritual failures, yes. I can relate to that. And Paul is calling Timothy to purity, to flee the desires of the youth and speak of the values of a clear conscience. How many of you have had instances in your life when you felt empowered because you knew what you were doing was right in the eyes of God? Does that give you power? When I worked in the secular world, and I was in management, you know, once in a while you get called into the boss's office to explain yourself. And it wouldn't be too long into the conversation when I would say, right is might. And I've had department heads and different things, and it always seemed to rotate around times when it was time to give a raise. They didn't like to give people what they deserved. Just give them a little bit to hopefully keep them quiet. Well, I had some really good employees that I thought needed that upper echelon of raises. We've got to do this over. This evaluation needs to be redone, and you need to lower your scores. Sorry, not going to happen. We're underpaying them now, and you even want to give them a lousy raise? And somewhere in the conversation, I would say, right is might, you know, then he opens a little book and he puts a mark in it. I don't know what that meant. But what I felt like was, is it cheating people to not give them what they deserve? Or they deserve more than they're getting? But I felt empowered. And I could stand here before you and say, I never lowered any of those evaluations. Now there may have been some things done on the other end that I had no control over that would bring it down a little bit, because I never always had 100% of an evaluation. But I had like 80%. My 80% would stay the same. But when I was empowered by doing what was right, I couldn't be stopped. And I can honestly say here, I never had to suffer for that, I think. Unless I just wasn't smart enough to know I was suffering because of that. But right is might. And being right in Christ is what I'm talking about. Because there's right. There's not always right and wrong. There can be right and not quite as right. See what I'm saying? There's right and wrong, and then there's right and not quite as right. Or wrong and not quite so wrong. But is this faith thing a black and white thing? Is it a line on the floor? When we cross the line, it's 100% one way or the other. Life is not that simple, is it? I wish it was. I think we'd have a better chance of standing up to what we believe in if it was a yes-no answer. What I mean by that, we can say yes today, but it's up at Emory. I thought I told you this when I said but, and apologizing to the professor for, I thought, a flippant remark, and I needed to apologize. She said it's not an apology if you say but. Okay, what does that mean? Let me think about that. I think I said, have a nice day, and I went to sit down because I wouldn't do anything but dig in the hole a little deeper. But what it does mean is there's right and there's wrong. And there's times when we need to stand up and not be ashamed to be a Christ follower. For many of us, that's pretty easy, but for some of us, that's a struggle. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy here. Be strong. Stand up to what you believe you've been taught. Then if we look at it from the perspective of Timothy, he's a second-generation Christian. He hasn't walked with those early disciples. Paul has come along beside him. But he didn't have first-hand knowledge of Jesus. Like us. Our faith is in things we can't see. To the world, that's a crazy thought. If you can't see it, how can you believe in it? That can be a tough sell, can it? That can be tough. But as Paul told Timothy, hang in there. You got this. Christ is your beacon. And when we're able to show that side of us, and you've heard me say before, we don't have to go beat people up with the Bible. Don't go attack them with the Bible and crush your skull in with the Bible. Live it. But then I'll throw this out there as well. If you don't know this, how do you live this? So there's something to do. I just want to make note of Timothy. I read that last little line in the scripture and it doesn't seem to quite fit. But what I wanted to emphasize with that line is in verse 15 there at the end, it starts a new chapter, it starts a new paragraph. And it says, you know that everyone in Asia has turned away from me. When people don't want to hear what we have to say, or they're living in a moral life that we make them nervous with the light that shines from us, they turn from us. Have any of you been lonely in your pursuit of Christ and others have turned from you because they think you're a nutcase? Okay, let me take the word nutcase back. Maybe that is it. Have you lost friends because of your faith? It happens. It happens. Does Paul told Timothy, hang in there. You got this. But there may be people that don't want to hear our message. When I mean hear our message, they don't want to even see how we live. Some of my previous friends living in an immoral lifestyle that I steered clear of. I was trying to bring them around and hanging out with them. It became where we couldn't be friends anymore, not because we didn't like one another. It was because, for one, I didn't like to do what they were doing anymore. And they sort of saw me as a little bit out there. What's this whole Christ thing really mean? So sometimes it's tough. You've got to correctly use the Word of God. Not bash brains out with the Bible, but be someone who lives the life. That lives the lifestyle. Today for World Communion Sunday, we get to remember gathering together with others around the world. You ever realize how many Christians there are in the world? There's a lot of us. But how does most of our life seem centered in our church, in our family? And we have this disconnect with the rest of the world. A World Communion Sunday is meant to let us, at least for the moment, remember that we're not in this alone. Some of our brothers and sisters are still in prison for their faith, just like Paul was. We've got to remember them today as well. We've got it pretty good here, I think, huh? We can come to church when we want to and not want to. Thank you all for coming out today with the threat of weather over us. Thunder and lightning this morning. And there's some that stay home today because of that. And that's okay if it's not safe for them to get out. We've got to remember whose we are. And that Christ has given us a mandate. He's given us our papers, our orders. Like Timothy, we may have weaknesses and be limited in our faith at times, but we're to become re-energized and renewed by our faith. Let's pray. Gracious God, this message from Paul today has certainly struck a chord with me. Father, he's not writing from the perspective of one nearly at the end of his journey, but he's speaking to one that is just at the beginning. Father, wherever we find ourselves in this journey, I pray that your guidance, the people you place in our lives to help strengthen us, and those that need our strength, I pray that you let us know the difference. Let us be willing participants in the lives of others. Thank you, Paul, for writing this letter to Timothy and for us using it to help our day-to-day lives. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Churches around the world will be gathering around the Lord's table. In many ways, it seems such a common thing, made uncommon by a holy man. That holy man being Jesus Christ, who came and suffered and died on a cross He willingly gave himself up for sinners. And when I say sinners, that's me and you. We're sinners. We can't help ourselves. But we have salvation. We have salvation. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be obedient church. We have not loved you well. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your law. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience to Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, for the sake of your highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for the sake of your highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us the new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today his family and all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread. He raised it, he broke it. He told his disciples, "Take and eat, for this is my body, broken for you." Likewise, after the meal, he took the cup and he raised it to his Father. He said, "Father, bless this, for this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for many. The new covenant has now been established. Do this in remembrance of me each time you drink of it." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is high.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us that are here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people, to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive
those helping with communion today, please come forward to us. Father, we love you. We give you thanksgiving for the joyous occasion of this supper with you. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, Love, Mercy, and Grace.
have anyone.